It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I would really appreciate it if you'd run over to Facebook and like us. We are putting all kinds of great information out there as well. So welcome to the show. It's Wednesday. Steve, you have made it. It is Wednesday.
Who wouldn't like you? Give that instruction for Facebook. Who wouldn't like you?
There's a few people that don't. People that don't really stand for freedom or the individual may not like me so much. But I think almost everybody else does.
If that's the cross you bear, go for it.
So if you like freedom and you like being an American, you like shedding light on what's going on out there, go over to Facebook and like me. I'd greatly appreciate it. We've got a lot going on today. Great show. In the second hour, the second segment, we'll be talking with Matt Durkin. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. And Steve, what's happening here in Colorado is I'm trying to look at it from a positive standpoint because it looks like the Tri-County Health Director is going to put a stay in or shelter in place, martial law. In place probably later today. This is an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat. And I've been in contact with our three county commissioners, really encouraging them to stand for freedom. And I got a text message back and said, our hands are tied. And, I think that's a bunch of nonsense. We are a Republican form of government where we're a representative form of government. And if we have gotten ourselves into a point where unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats can take away our freedom, this is a gut check for America right now. This is a gut check for Colorado. This is a gut check for Douglas County, Steve.
You know, I don't know how to respond to that because, as you would expect, when you're in the military at a young age, it will kind of mold you for the rest of your days. There's a little thing called the chain of command, and I wonder if it applies to this particular situation. And, not in any permanence. Certainly what's being advocated here is not in any sense of permanence. It is just prudent, a course of action right now while we still try to figure out what in the world is going on here. I don't know how to I'm on the fence, I guess. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, even though you were in the military, ultimately the chain of command goes to the President of the United States, who is an elected representative. And that is where the power should be, is with our elected representatives. And, I was on city council for 4 years, and I saw on a consistent basis putting in ordinances and a variety of things that would protect people that are in elected offices so that they can get reelected, so they don't have to make the hard choices for freedom. And I really feel that that's what's going on here. I'd like to see somebody, someplace in America, some elected official stand up and say, wait a minute. We got to get America back to work here. And one of my colleagues was on, apparently there was a conference call last night or a town hall call last night with the John Douglas, the director of Tri-County Health, which just so you know, he went down to the State House last year and testified on behalf of the, in support of the radical sex education bill. And he implied that he was speaking on behalf of the three counties that he represented. He was not. And they certainly talked with him about the fact that he misrepresented himself. And then here we are 1 year later, he is issuing an edict of close to what I think is martial law. And I'm pretty unhappy about it, Steve. So we will see. But, let's get through. No, I'm going to go right to this. And that is, I... I took a look. Let me find my numbers here. Got to figure out where I put this now. And that is, I'll find it in just a minute. Here we go. This is what Patty said. In light of the well-orchestrated Tri-County Health Call on Tuesday night, where participants encouraged PBIs to monitor their neighbors, rope off playgrounds, and other anti-freedom enforcements, she says, I pray that we will all reflect and understand all the lives that perished in previous generations for your freedom and the freedom of all here in the United States. Says, never let a bad situation bring out the worst in you. Be strong and positive. So, Steve, in the Revolutionary War, the population of America was 3.9 million. The deaths from that war were between 25 and 70,000 American patriots. 6,800 were killed in battle, while at least 17,000 died from disease. The majority of the latter died while prisoners of war of the British, mostly in the prison ships in New York Harbor. That was 0.006% of the population. And I was very generous on the population on that. In the Civil War, there were 31.4 million people in the United States, and at least 618,000 Americans died in the Civil War. Some experts think the toll went as high as 700,000. The number that's most often quoted is 620,000. At any rate, these casualties exceed the nation's losses in all other wars from the Revolution through Vietnam, and that was about 2% of the people. And so that was, if that would be equivalent to today, of 6.6 million Americans dying. Our statistics right now in the United States, the total coronavirus, China flu, Wuhan flu, or is the total cases are 53,000, just over 53,000. Total deaths are 696. In Colorado, the total cases are 720, and I think the deaths are at 10. So just comparison of the people that stood for freedom and what their sacrifices were. And I think we're going to have a real freedom moment here. So I want to say thank you to the team, to Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie, and thank you to each of you listeners. You're each your treasured and you're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. This is a time that may call us to be bigger than ourselves. And I ask you to go out and strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Within the last couple of days, I've talked with friends of mine that have immigrated from communist or socialist countries. And they said that this is exactly what it was like there, that there were not products on the shelves, that people were waiting in line to get into the grocery stores. And so this is a preview of what socialism will do to our country. And if you want a preview of the New Green Deal, you're seeing it right now. And so when we come out of this on the other side, which we will, the sun is going to come up. We're going to march through this. And when we come out on the other side, we're going to be different people. We're going to realize that these freedoms that we have taken so for granted that are worth fighting for. And we need to engage in the battle of ideas and conversations with our colleagues and with our neighbors and with our family and our friends to preserve this great thing. Because I tell you what, Steve, I don't like this. I took it for granted. We were fat and happy. We went into the store and there was everything that we wanted. And if we worked hard and were industrious, we could buy whatever we wanted. And we're seeing that we had taken that for granted. And so when we come out on the other side, we're going to be different people, Steve.
No doubt about it. We are going to write new norms.
And those new norms had better be steeped in freedom. Because, my friends, we stand on the shoulders of giants. I just talked about the number of deaths of freedom of people that gave everything, their last full measure of devotion. And we are Americans, and we better start acting like it. Several things here. At the bottom of the hour, of course, we'll be talking with Jason McBride. And then Jay Davidson, who is the founder and chairman of the board of First American State Bank, we're going to get his read on all this. It looks like probably the Senate is going to vote on the stimulus bill later this afternoon, and then that'll go over to the House. So let's see. Did want to mention to you Dee Dee Chisholm and Abby Sinnott. We've had them on the show. They're with Bella Health and Wellness. And they're finding that it's difficult to get medical gowns. And so they're asking for men's extra large cotton shirts. They need anywhere to about 100. What they're going to do is when they see a patient, they'll have these shirts on backwards. and then they'll wash them and disinfect them, and then they'll use them again. So if you have some of those shirts, would you email me at kim@kimmonson.com, and we'll figure out how to get those from you to Bella. And so let's go ahead. Inspiration, Milton Friedman. He was an American economist who received the 1976 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences for his research on consumption analysis, monetary history, and theory. And he says the Great Depression, like most other periods of severe unemployment, was produced by government mismanagement rather than by any inherent instability of the private economy. I thought that was pretty timely for today. And our funnies. Okay. Are you ready, Steve? Here we go.
I peeked. I peeked. I looked ahead. This is a good one. This is...
Bob was in trouble. He forgot his wedding anniversary again, and his wife was really, really mad. So she told him, tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 206 seconds, and it better be there. So the next morning, he got up early and left for work. When his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was a box gift-wrapped in the middle of the driveway. Confused, the wife put on her robe and ran out to the driveway, brought the box back in the house. She opened it and found a brand new bathroom scale. Bob has been missing since Friday.
Poor Bob. You know, but he did follow instructions. Can I say something in his behalf? He followed instructions. I just hope he shows up.
That's for sure. Now, we're going to go to break in just a minute. Before we do that, though, I wanted to just let you know what Nancy Pelosi has in her stimulus package, okay?
Well, yeah. Okay, before you do that, I'm glad you brought that up, because looking for the actual status of this package, this bill, it's a little muddy. The water is really muddy. It says, it implies that the White House and the Senate are on the same page, but there's still something hanging up in the House. So go ahead.
Okay, Nancy Pelosi is asking for these things. To eliminate the U.S. Postal debt to the Treasury, which is $11 billion, plus set aside $25 billion for the Postal Service until September 20, 2022, and would eliminate a $3 billion annual borrowing limit for its line of credit from the Treasury. Number two, require that airlines accepting assistance under the bill have a union representative on their board. Number three, environmental regulations for airlines. Number four, expansion of wind and solar tax credits. Number five, mandatory diversity reports on corporate boards. Number six, requiring same-day voter registration in all 50 states. Next, establishing a 15-hour minimum wage. Putting back in Obama phones. $35 million to the Kennedy Center. $300 million that would be allotted for the National Endowment of the Arts. $300 million for the National Endowment of the Humanities. This does not look like somebody that is concerned about everyday hardworking Americans that are not working right now, Steve.
How many of the, well, you just said it. I'm going to ask a redundant question. How many of those things have anything to do with the real issue at hand?
Exactly. So the veil is off on what's going on. We're going to go to break. When we come back, though, we'll be talking with Matt Durkin, who is candidate for Jefferson County DA. These elections are more important than ever. And we need to be very cautious as we cast our votes this next time. But my friends, before we get to break, we need to buckle down and help all of the restaurants, bars, and taverns here in Colorado. With Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock and now Tri-County Health's edict to close, well, they closed dine-in options, but now we're just closing down everything. People are going to have some tough times. So restaurants are getting creative. Hooters Restaurants is a valued partner of mine and really support my shows. Let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship by stopping by and picking up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters Wings delivered to your front door via one of the delivery services. Hooters Restaurants are adding a curbside pickup option for to-go orders. So order your food to go at order.hooters.com. It's a really popular option. And during these interesting times, take the Queen's advice. Stay calm and carry on. We are Americans. Let's start acting like it. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Matt Durkin. We'll be talking about how to keep our community safe. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business this month and will be reopening on March 31st, 3 to 8 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Beginning March 31st, call 720-381-6663 to place your curbside to-go order or stop in to grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663. Or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And go over to Facebook. We'd really appreciate it if you would like our page as well. On the line with me is Matt Durkin, and he is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. Matt, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am good. It is Wednesday, and this is the day that you call in and talk about. We were talking about legislation down at the State House. Of course, they're in a temporary adjournment. But as we're walking through this crazy time here in America, I think the safety of our communities is something that people are really starting to think about. And that is something that is really important to you. So what's on your radar this morning, Matt Durkin?
Well, I tell you what a difference a week makes. What we have been through in the last week is something that we've never seen. And it just is such a tremendous reminder that public safety matters. It matters when times are good, but it matters even more in times of crisis. And the concerns that we are having in courts right now as the legislature's on adjournment and the court system is trying to grapple with this health issue is that the defense is taking this, taking advantage of this and exploiting this to release people who should be in jail, release them from jail in the name of a crisis. So we are grappling with that all over the state of Colorado, but certainly in the First Judicial District and in Jefferson County.
So during this crisis, when people are on edge, then you're telling me that we are letting criminals out early. Is that right?
Yeah, and of course, we definitely need to take everything on a case-by-case basis and really assess their case and assess them in their health if they're at high risk. We want to make sure that the jails are as healthy as they can be and that an outbreak doesn't happen there. However, what we are dealing with in Jefferson County is they have filed hundreds and hundreds of motions to reduce bond, and we are seeing some very, very concerning results. We have worked around the clock to assess each and every one of those cases and make sure that the victims are notified because they have constitutional rights in this process as well, and make sure public safety is protected and that we're not releasing people that we shouldn't be. My concern is that we are.
And when you say that motions are being made, who's making these motions?
The public defender in Jefferson County has filed hundreds of motions to release prisoners. And these are prisoners that are not necessarily high risk. Now, of course, we need to look at each and every one. But these are prisoners that perhaps were arrested last week or the bond was addressed last week and they're 21 years old. They are not high risk prisoners. And so those persons should remain in jail if they're a threat to our community.
Well, we were taking a look, Patty had pulled this on murders in Denver, and it said that the Denver Post reported on February 16th of 2020 that there were 63 homicides in Denver for the year 2019. That was the highest recorded in the city since 2004. We've had 12 homicides reported so far this year in Denver, as reported by the Denver Post just recently. And that trend really concerns me. Now, we're talking about Denver, not Jefferson County. But the safety of our communities is really important. What's your thoughts on this, Matt?
Well, the concern that we have overall is that homicide rates are up all over Colorado, and certainly in Denver. They are certainly up in Jefferson County. And, of course, all of this is related to a drug crisis. So drugs are not a victimless crime. In fact, they are the predicate to most crimes that we see, whether that be property crimes or this tragic increase in homicides all over the state of Colorado. And so that is still, that's still present in this state of crisis. These folks are still having these drug problems, and they turn to crime. And so releasing them back into the community as we're grappling with this crisis is just not, it's going to jeopardize public safety all over Colorado, but certainly in Jefferson County.
Now, Matt, another crime that I've heard about is called smash and grab. And that is where a window of a vehicle might be smashed and then, you know, something taken out of the vehicle. And it seems to me like we talked about it, but wasn't there some legislation proposed that under a certain limit it was no longer a crime? I think maybe in California. Is that here as well? I can't remember.
We have not passed that here, but that is the concern that we have, is that prosecutors that were supported by George Soros in places like Dallas and in San Francisco, those DAs have proclaimed that they're not going to enforce crimes below a certain number. It's $750 in Dallas. It's $1,000 in San Francisco. That is a huge amount. And so they have said that they are not going to enforce crimes below that threshold, meaning if they're not going to enforce the crime, it basically legalizes that activity. And $1,000 is a huge amount of money to a car owner. $1,000 is a huge amount of money to a business owner who wakes up to open up their business to find that it's been it's basically been burglarized by that type of same smash and grab activity for the $100 that's in the cash register to start the day.
So, and then it's not just what was stolen, but it would be to fix what was smashed in order to get that. Is that included in that? Because that's money out of the victim's pocket as well.
That would go into the total amount, but $1,000 is a huge amount of money. And so, for instance, a windshield will take less than $1,000 to fix. That wouldn't be prosecuted in places like Dallas and San Francisco. And so it really legalizes that activity. And if you've seen those videos, it includes theft. And if you've seen those videos of people just walking into Walgreens in the San Francisco area, just simply cleaning out the shelves, not even bothering to stop at the cash register, that San Francisco DA, supported by George Soros, is refusing to prosecute that type of crime.
You know, and Matt, I just find this so interesting that on one side, and you know, as we're walking through this kind of wonky time here in America, I think, I guess one of the real positives is people are now really paying attention. I would say before this whole coronavirus thing, people were living their lives. They were very busy. And this has kind of slowed everything down. And we're taking a look at what's really going on. And I think that's very positive. And if you think about it, that we've got DAs out there, we've got people that are pushing that criminal activity is not criminal activity. You play that out into the future, and it really affects the safety of our communities. And we've taken the safety of our communities for granted, and we need to make sure that we protect that, Matt Durkin.
We absolutely need to have awareness to this, and that's what I've been encouraged by. I think, like you, I think that people are waking up to the facts of these bad policy decisions and the consequences that they've had in our communities, and they are recognizing that crime is, it's spreading, and they feel it in their communities, their neighborhoods. As I speak to people, they say to me, you have said what I have felt or what I have seen on Nextdoor. Crime is really creeping, and it's significant crime. So I agree with you. Now, through this crisis, the concern that we have is that if you're going to be releasing offenders back into the community, they come back 50% of the time. So if we're going to release them from a quarantine situation in jail, and they're going to recidivate, and they're going to go commit more crimes, they perhaps are going to commit more crimes and come back infected. So you have then doubled down on the crisis that you're trying to avoid. So it is very concerning that we're going to not only release offenders into the community to reoffend, but give them now an opportunity to get infected and bring them back into the jail and infect the rest of the inmate population.
Wow. Okay. So, well, Matt Durkin, we're out of time for this morning. I know we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Who knows what's going to happen between now and next Wednesday, but how can people help you? I think that people are realizing that we really need to make sure that we, know who we are electing into office. And so how can people help you?
Well, thank you, Kim. People can go to my website, durkinforda.com. That is durkinforda.com to contribute and also to register to volunteer. We need all the help that we can get, and we've been so encouraged by everyone's support. So please go to durkinforda.com.
Okay, Matt, thank you so much. You have a great day. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And Jason, after the show yesterday, I'd gotten a text or read a text from one of our listeners. One of our headlines of hope was this company, an Israeli company, I think it's Teva, that was donating 6 million doses of this drug that looks like it's having is an effective treatment for the China virus. And just wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Oh, you mean that drug that cleans fish tanks that somebody in Arizona ate and they died?
Not that one.
not that one, right?
The other one.
I'm kidding. Yeah, you know, Kim, your listener had texted and asked about Teva Pharmaceuticals. And, you know, there are several companies that are able to make this drug. What is it called again?
Chloronique or something like that.
Okay, yeah, it's so Teva's out there. Actually, Bayer also has donated, I think, about 3 million tablets. There's a couple of other companies, Novartis, Mylan can also make this. They're all FDA approved to produce this drug. And I believe there's 6 or 7 other companies out there that can do it. It is a generic at this point, so you've got a lot of manufacturers, but I don't know that I would run out and buy these stocks just based on that, Kim. I mean, number one, Teva and Bayer are donating tablets of this, so that certainly doesn't go to their bottom line if they're really just giving it away. Teva wasn't looking really that hot before this all started. That's a company that's been struggling with, kind of a high debt load for a while. It's trading at a very low price-to-earnings ratio, and it seemed to be trying to pull itself out of the dirt. But it wasn't like a leading super growth-type stock before this happened. And I could say the same thing about Mylan to some degree. So I guess the point I'm making, Kim, is I wouldn't get caught up, in like headline hype about this and rush out and buy the stocks. I mean, we saw what happened to kind of the quote, stay-at-home stocks that they threw a list out of, and they've done just as bad as the market, if not worse.
Well, you know what? I think, Jason, is that if people have a question about something, they can certainly email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and I'll get that over to you. Or they could go to our shared landing page at airpresidential.com, if they have a question about a stock, and I know that you'll get back with them on that.
Well, sure. I mean, I think it's fun to answer listeners' questions. But, yeah, you're right. Give us a call, fire it onto the website, and time allowing and Kim allowing, you're the gatekeeper. We'll talk about these things.
Okay, well, sounds great. So Jason McBride, that phone number is 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Jay Davidson. He is the chairman of the board and founder of First American State Bank. You'll want to hear what he has to say.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Monson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. I'm really excited to have on the line with me someone who I know you all love to hear from, and that is Jay Davidson. He is the founder, chairman of the board of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. I'm honored to be here again.
You know, a lot has happened since our last conversation back in January. Things were clicking along from an economic standpoint. Unemployment was at an all-time low for, you know, all spectrums. We were having good economic growth. And then this coronavirus, Wuhan virus, has hit the news cycles. And you know, certainly we're concerned about it. But what has happened from an economic standpoint, it seems like an economic virus to me, Jay Davidson.
Well, it's a man-made economic virus. I'm not arguing with the federal government's decision to shut down our economy, but I am very concerned about the lack of balance and consideration for the private business, private ownership, for people who work for a living, especially those poor folks that are out of work, who work paycheck to paycheck, that can't even gainfully get employed right now. I just feel like the government is once again using an extremely heavy hand, not just the federal government, but all the way down now to the city governments are being far too reactive to this virus. Not that I don't take it seriously, I do. But I think we can exercise some balance here in our thinking.
Yeah, I think balance is a very important thing because there are extenuating effects, if that's the right word, to having this economic shutdown. I think there's risk to people's mental health when they're concerned about how am I going to pay the next bill? Where am I going to find a job? You know, that can lead to depression, to suicide. And those are things that you can't quite put your finger on, but those could be effects of this this shutdown that's going on.
It very much could be, and heaven forbid that people get into looting and rioting and mob control. And I mean, there are ramifications of what the effect of the federal reaction is to this virus. The longer it goes on, the longer the shutdown goes on, the longer, the more likely there will be violence. And nobody wants that. So I hope our politicians will start to step up. And I have a real simple solution. Some people think I'm nuts, but we don't need more government right now. We need less. And I don't mind explaining that from an economic standpoint.
Why don't you, Jay? Go ahead.
Yeah. Right now, Congress, the House and the Senate, and President Trump are trying to work out some stimulus package in Washington, D.C. The effects of a Washington-based stimulus package will be zip, zero, and nada. on the economy, because that isn't the solution right now. That's because they're not addressing the problem. The problem is that business transactions have been shut down, and business transactions are the economy, period. It's not government stimulus. It's not government spending. The economy is not anything to do with the government. In fact, if anything, the government interferes more with economic transactions than it helps. I would argue that instead of talking about monetary stimulus packages like another, what is the latest word, $2 trillion in quantitative easing, or, which is simply printing more cash, which has a long-term inflationary effect, it destroys the value of the dollar. They brought interest rates to zero. Well, you know, that's not helping me as a banker get more loans. People are out there trying to survive and not worry about their debt, not worry about getting a few basis points on their debt. So everything that the federal government, the Congress, and even President Trump are talking about is absolutely and totally missing the point. The issue that we're facing is that, right or wrong, and I'm sure the government's right here, the government has decided to shut down the real economy. And the real economy is you and I agreeing on a transaction at a fair market value and enacting that transaction. That is the economy. It's private business and private citizens making decisions without outside interference. And our federal government has now effectively shut that down without, I believe, as a personal feeling, but without due consideration to the long-term effects to the economy. And since people are not able to earn wages now, to the people, the citizens of the United States. So I think there's some other things that should be done, and don't mind going into that later with you if you wish.
Okay. And to that point, you know, it used to be that neighbors helped neighbors. I had a friend of mine, she's since passed on, but she grew up in the Loveland area during the Depression, and she said that they had something that was called pound parties. If somebody got into a difficult situation, they'd have a pound party. Somebody bring a pound of flour, somebody bring a pound of sugar, and, you know, just a pound of food, and come in to help them get through that. And it was neighbor helping neighbor. Something that I think that we could do instead of the government coming in and giving money or sending money to people is we could go prepay services. So like the hair, nail, you know, all of those kinds of industries right now that have been shut down via government edict is maybe prepay services for your next haircut or your next visit to the nail salon or whatever it might be to just try to help those folks get through, you know, this kind of lean time. Or, you know, order some carry out and give a little extra tip to the people that are working there. There's things that we can do. And if we do that person to person, the government isn't taking the government's cut as the money goes by. 100% of that goes to help that person.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a commendable point. But the government does take its cut if the person announces the wages or tips that he's getting, because they will tax him.
I think that gets
to the crux of the issue here. But I do like your idea of independent people doing what they can do. And we've certainly tried to support our friends as best we can. But, you know, I'm not going to go over to a friend's house and bang on their door. They don't want me anywhere near them. You know, this panic, and I do believe this is a panic, not a rational reaction to certainly a dangerous situation, and I don't minimize the danger of the coronavirus, but I think the reaction, the panicked reaction that started in the media by the way they handle it, by the adverbs and adjectives they use, by the even President Trump, whom I have a lot of respect for, has exacerbated this panic, and certainly the Congress has done that. So I think what I'm asking is that people step back a little bit and put this whole thing in perspective. And, you know, I always get feedback, and I respect this, that, well, I know a friend who's dying of coronavirus. God, that's a tragedy. And I'm so sorry to hear that. But when we talk about economic things, about national things, we need to look more at the overall numbers. And I think we'd be more effective in addressing this catastrophe than, by approaching it as rationally, logically, and reasonably as we possibly can, and put it in perspective. For instance...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, from a perspective standpoint, we are bringing this forward on a daily basis. But in Colorado, just the other day, there was a total of 720 cases of coronavirus, and there were 7 deaths. Now, each of these people, we both acknowledge, are treasured and valued. But if you compare that to the flu and to other things, to actually totally shut down the economy, your point of lack of perspective, I think, is a very important one.
Totally agree. And now, I would also say exercise care, but extreme care. Use the 6-foot rule to stay away from other people. Try not to touch surfaces that are in public areas. You know, be careful if you sneeze or cough. You know, don't get it on anybody. Wash your hands like 20 seconds with warm water and soap. Apparently that kills the virus on your hands. You don't need the antiseptic stuff, although if you can get it, use it. Keep your body healthy. Keep yourself healthy. Exercise. You can take certain care individually that should prevent the onset of this disease, or at least minimize the possibility of it. So, you know, I'm 70. I'm on immunosuppressant drugs, so I'm right in the middle of the danger zone. Is that stopping me from going to work and being careful? No. And I'm not saying that's a great thing. It's just we need to get going here. We need to get this economy running again, no matter what this government is doing to us. We need to find a way to exercise the proper care, but not to panic.
Well, and one other thing before we go to break, Jay Davidson, is I think we need to limit our exposure to media and Facebook, social media.
Yes.
And I saw a friend of mine the other day, and she talked about this hand washing. 20 seconds seems like a long time. But what she suggested is go through things that you're grateful for as you're washing your hands. So I was doing that. I was going through all these different things that I was grateful for, and it changes your perspective from panic and fear to being grateful and seeing opportunity. So I'd highly recommend people to do that. So Jay Davidson, chairman of the board, founder of First American State Bank, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will continue this very important conversation.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. very pleased to have on the line with me Jay Davidson. He is the founder, chairman of the board of First American State Bank. It is a community bank located right here in the metro area. Community banks are the banks that actually, I think, have built America. They've built Main Street. They work with everyday people that are going after their hopes and dreams. Jay Davidson, it's always a great conversation when you're on the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to hear you and talk with you again.
So let's talk about solutions as we are walking through this coronavirus or Wuhan virus panic. I think sometimes people forget to look into the future. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. We just need to keep moving through. Somebody said, I want to say it was maybe John Elway, you know, how is it that you're so successful as a quarterback? And he said something along the line of, I always keep my feet moving. And that's something we need to be doing, is we need to keep moving. So what are some solutions here, Jay Davidson?
Well, I think the solutions are the same solutions that have always worked for any country, especially in America. And the solutions are the independence of our businesses, the independence of our citizens, the freedoms that were granted us, or not granted, sorry, if to be precise, they were recognized in the Constitution. There's far too much government involvement and interference in our daily lives and our daily business through regulation, taxation, and government spending. So the solution to the economic crisis that we're in today is not going to be more government involvement. It's not going to be sending $1,000 out to everybody. Those that have jobs don't need that. Those that don't have jobs want jobs and want regular wages. They don't want handouts. Macroeconomically, I'm not speaking about individuals because each case is different and each case is heart-rending, but macroeconomically, we don't need the government to take money that they initially took from us, wasted a whole bunch in a bureaucratic system, and then have the government send that money back to us as citizens. That's incredibly insane. So I think that the solution is getting the government out of our lives, letting us restart our businesses as quickly as we possibly can, and letting us get the economy. The true economy is a transaction between, like, you and me. It's between one business and another business. That is the economy. The government has nothing to do with that economy except to inhibit its the free flow of money and supplies and services. So I tend to disagree with a lot of my even Republican congressmen that the solution to a problem that was created by the federal government is more federal government. That's not the solution, folks.
You know, Jay, I find some real encouragement on a couple of things. First of all, with this coronavirus, people are paying attention. You know, when before this, I think that we were kind of fat and happy. I think people thought that when you went into the grocery store, that all that stuff just magically appeared. And we're realizing that that's not the case. So the veil is off. People, I think, are engaged, and we need to continue to bring truth and light to these issues. So you mentioned this possible 1,000 to 3,500 that might come out to people. And that's really going to be it. Someone that you and I both admire, Maggie Thatcher, said the problem with socialism, and that's basically socialism, is that you run out of other people's money. So we can't do another $2 trillion stimulus plan. That's not going to work. As you are mentioning here, we've got to get people back to work in the real economy.
That's exactly right, and I do love Maggie Thatcher. I got to meet her once. She's a very petite lady, but what a will that woman had.
Oh, lucky
incredible
you.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I love her. I love Ronald Reagan. I love Milton Friedman, the other great folks that understand the economy. I do think that this is a wake-up call for all of us to appreciate what we have. And stop going about life in a daze. And, you know, I've always railed against how the government, if you look at the source of, let's say, the 2008 Great Recession, the source of that was government. It was Congress making a decision that they would offload the risk of subprime lending, which is very obviously extremely risky, and they would offload that to two government agencies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Banks then and lenders picked up on that, created a vast majority of subprime loans, and guess what? A housing crisis ensued. Took 10 years, but that's pretty typical. And then what does the bank regulators do? Instead of helping to stimulate business and transactions, they shut us down through regulation. So here's two different bureaucracies, Congress and banking regulation, that made the Great Recession as bad as it was and as deep as it was and as long as it was. And if you go back to the Great Depression from 1929, you'll find similar but different government involvement in causing these things. Now, I can't argue about shutting down the United States and the world due to this coronavirus, because I don't know what the federal government knows, and I'll admit that freely. But I'm telling everybody that the federal government has caused this catastrophe, this economic catastrophe that we're in right now. They may be right, they may be wrong, but they're giving no consideration whatsoever to individuals, to private business, to our rights to personal ownership of our property. They're saying, I can't, or, well, we can, we're essential as a bank. But to those poor folks that have a business that is non-essential, that is shut down in Denver, I feel so sorry for these people. After all the hard work they put in to build that business, to take care of their employees, their customers, and their suppliers, they are now facing imminent ruin at the hands of a overreactive federal government.
Well, and also on the state and local level. I was very frustrated when Michael Hancock came in and said that he was shutting down the restaurant industry for 8 weeks. For, you know, people that are in that particular business, it could be a lot of young people that may be living paycheck to paycheck. And they look at 8 weeks, and it almost could make people desperate in some ways. I really think a leader would have a much more measured approach and say something along the line of, this is something that we've never seen before. We certainly want to keep our constituents safe. We're going to take a pause here for 10 days and then reassess that. But when you come in with a heavy hand and shut down businesses for 8 weeks, I find that irresponsible, is my opinion on that, Jay.
I think the word irresponsible is very measured and very nice of you to say. And if we weren't on the radio, I'd probably say it was something even worse. I think it's dictatorial, and I think it's inappropriate. And I think it's an overreaction that just adds to the panic that's already out there. And it's not the words of Michael Hancock, it's the action and the body language and the demeanor. And, you know, the absolute arrogance of a Denver mayor to shut down private business to prevent people from making their own decisions. You know what? If I believe in this coronavirus, I'm personally not going to go out to a restaurant and associate with a whole bunch of people. That's my decision, not Mayor Hancock's decision. And yet this miniature dictator is destroying the Denver economy and all the area around it. We've all shut down all restaurants. They're out. So I can't express my frustration as deeply as I really want to here.
The positive thing on this, Jay Davidson, and we're just about out of time, though, is the veil is off. These people that say that they care about everyday, hardworking Coloradans, we've seen when they have the opportunity, they have stepped in with not a measured response. And I agree that a measured response is necessary at this particular point in time. But they stepped in with something that has really taken hope from people. And so the veil is off, and I'm really I'm excited about that because we can now really engage in this battle of ideas as we go into these next elections here in November. Jay Davidson, your final thought.
Well, I agree with you. I've railed against government interference in our lives, and this is a perfect example of it. And I'd ask everybody to think about the balance here, and there is none. What government program is ever shut down by itself? Now, you can say that, the ban on going to restaurants is going to be lifted. Probably will. But what is the step that has been kept? What is the loss of control that you're experiencing right now that's, not in plain sight but hidden, but is still there? Whatever regulations they put on us, whatever restrictions on the free transfer of money, on the rights to our own personal ownership of our property, that they place on us are restrictions on our freedoms. And we need to be ultra aware of the next step that the government, whether city, state, or federal, is going to do. I'm very concerned about a government becoming dictatorial.
Well, I am as well. And that is why we engage in this battle of ideas. I know that you do that on a regular basis, Jay Davidson. We do that every day on the air. And because we are Americans, and ultimately we have a responsibility to stand up for liberty. We stand on the shoulders of giants. And Jay Davidson, on my watch, I'm going to engage in this battle of ideas, and I know you are too.
Well, thanks for all you do, Kim. You're really working hard to get her done. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and it's great to talk with you. And Jay Davidson, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Milton Friedman. He said, "One of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I-